You will still commit sin. You will still have wrong beliefs. I've had to be straightened out on a number of things. When I first got saved, I attended a charismatic church and had the Holy Spirit confused with a lot of nonsense. And then after that, I went to a Nazarene church for a while and thought I could lose my salvation. There are things that you have to get straightened out on. You're not perfect. Your repentance, it doesn't mean stop sinning. It doesn't mean you never sin again. The Lordship salvation lie. Stop sinning in order to be saved. And some of them will post here under this video. They'll send me emails and they'll say, no, that's not really what we believe. Yes, it is. You won't admit it when you're pressed on it, but that's really what Lordship salvation is. That is not what I'm preaching and teaching. Some people are just too stupid to see the difference. That's a big problem. Some people know this, but they're just liars, and they will willingly misrepresent me and misrepresent true gospel preachers, misrepresenting their enemies, because we are your enemies. We're an enemy of all false gospels. I hate every false way. And they'll do that in order to try to gain a convert to their false gospel. And that's what people do. People who preach a false gospel will always misrepresent the truth and character assassinate people that preach the truth. And if they can't assassinate your character, then they say, you're fat. I'm fat. See these cheeks? I'm fat. So that means I'm wrong, right? I have a disease. And it'll probably kill me. And you punks who write me and post things about me being fat, shove it in your ear. Go say that to somebody who cares about your opinion. I'm not going to, you mean. No, I'm the guy that get in your face and say, you're a punk. Fat. That just shows you have nothing left in your debate, in your argument. You have nothing to stand on. I'm also bald. And I'm white. I'm poor. I'm uneducated. I don't have an advanced degree in anything, including the Bible. Anything else? If you think that helps your argument, it doesn't help your argument, because the issue isn't my face. The issue isn't my bank account. The issue isn't my receding hairline. The issue is the Word of God. The issue is the gospel. The issue is that you're a false preacher. You're a false teacher. You're a sellout. You're a servant of Satan. You're preaching the gospel of Sodom. You're being used of the devil to produce a false church just in time for the Antichrist. And you are going to be ashamed of yourselves one day if you don't repent in the here and now. That's the issue. And those of you who believe the true gospel, I want you, well, anybody watching this, I want you to go just read your Bible. I don't want you, I don't think there's anything wrong with using the commentary, listening to other teachers. You know that, if you've listened to me at all. Cults are the ones who tell you never to read anything else and only read the Bible. Oh, by the way, here's a book. And that's the way cults function. And I'm not saying that. But for this topic, instead of listening to everybody's voices, including mine, turn off everything and just read the Bible and go and get your concordance or go on the search engine and look up every use of the word repent, repents, repenteth, repentance. And then not only that, but then just read through the Bible and look at what the Bible says. Even at times where it doesn't use the words repent or repentance or whatever, it still talks about the reality that the lost are lost in their sin and they must turn from those sins, their wickedness. Listen to just John 3:19. We'll see how Paul and Jesus are on the same page on this. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because of unbelief, right? No, that's not what it says. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This if you just read it carefully, says you can't even be saved. You cannot repent and believe the gospel. You cannot love the light and turn to the light unless you stop loving your deeds which are evil. The deeds which are evil keep men from loving the light. The deeds which are evil are the reason men love darkness. Look and pray about that passage, and then go over to Colossians chapter 1. And we have I'm trying to keep this under 1 hour. I normally make these BBF commentary videos much shorter, but this is just one of those things where so many lies, so much false information. You just have to take the time to nail it down, and I'm doing my best to keep it within time. But Colossians chapter 1, here we'll see Paul saying the same thing Jesus said, different words, a little more lengthy in our reading, same message. Colossians chapter 1, and for time's sake, let's begin in verse 20, says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind." If we stop there, these other guys would celebrate, but Paul didn't stop there. He says, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Your unbelief isn't some intellectual thing, and it's not some mystical, magical bullet that God shoots you with when you believe. The Bible is clear that the reason people reject the gospel is because their deeds are evil, John 3:19, and their mind is frozen by the wicked works. Repentance just a change of mind? Impossible! You can't change your mind unless you repent of the wicked works. Your mind is in bondage to your love of sin. It's not until you repent of your sin, you repent of your evil deeds, you repent of your wicked works, you repent of your abominations, only then can you change your mind, believing in the gospel. This definition that repentance is a change of mind is insanity. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What's that mean? I think that means that these people you see who profess Christianity or profess even faith in some gospel, when you see them fall away, there's a reason. It's because they haven't really believed the gospel. And again, I'm not naming names and pointing fingers and telling who's saved and who's lost. I don't know that. I'm just speaking from a biblical theological truth that appears to be the case. So Jesus says they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is the condemnation, he says. You're going to stand, we're all going to be at both judgments if we're Christians. And you're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not your sins, because you repented of your sins and believed the gospel. Your sins were judged at the cross. But you're going to stand at that judgment, be judged according to your works, of what kind they are, whether they burn or whether you receive reward, and so forth. Then, at the end of the millennium, after the final rebellion is put down, there's a great white throne judgment. We will be there, and we will see all these false professing, fake Christians, all these Laodiceans who are going to stand before Jesus Christ naked, without the righteousness of Christ, without the white robe of righteousness. They'll stand naked before God, and they are going to have their deeds exposed, and you're going to find out, if you won't accept it now, you'll accept it then. You're going to find out that the reason they rejected the truth of the gospel and refused, they all knew the gospel was true. They all will confess that Jesus is Lord. They're all going to confess that if they heard the gospel, they're going to confess they knew it was true. It's nonsense about it being some biblical revelation. You can't even believe the facts of the gospel without some. It's nonsense. And they're going to confess that they knew it was true. They're going to confess they knew Jesus was Lord. And they're going to be proven worthy of a lake of fire. Because they're going to be proven that the reason they rejected the gospel and refused to repent of their sins and believe the gospel and be saved was because they loved their sin. That's going to be the condemnation pronounced on them at the great white throne. You have these people saying, when you stand before the great white throne, you're just going to be, they're going to look for your name, and if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're cast in the lake of fire, and that's the reason you go to hell. And they leave it at that. No, there's going to be a condemnation pronounced, and it's not just going to be just your unbelief. You're going to be condemned because you loved unbelief, you love darkness rather than light because your deeds were evil. And that goes for you, that goes for your grandmother, that goes for your mother, your father, your grandfather, Winston Churchill, Constantine, it doesn't matter who you want to pull out of your hat, Martin Luther King Jr., whoever your idol is, if they die lost, they are going to stand before a great white throne and they are going to be condemned because they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they refuse to repent of their sin and believe the gospel. Those of us who are saved, we will testify for eternity that we were alienated, we were enemies in our mind because of our wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled us by His blood because of what He did on the cross. He was buried and rose again. Why? To save me from my sins, not just my unbelief. And my unbelief was rooted in sin. My unbelief was rooted in wicked works. My unbelief is because of my love for sins. And when I believed on the gospel, it was because God had given me repentance. And I turned from my sins and my sin, my nature, and my unbelief, and turned with faith toward God, with faith that the gospel itself saves me. That's why I'm saved. And if you haven't done that, you're not saved. A godly sorrow. And as I said, he didn't like the part of making them sorrow, but was willing to endure this for the end goal of seeing them repent. And that brings us to verse 10. And he says, for godly sorrow, I want you to read that with me. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, when we confront people lovingly, in the sense we love them enough to confront them, we may make them sorry and sorrowful. And if you see a tear coming, don't say, oh, I'm making them cry, I better stop. No, pour it on, man. That's how the old revivals worked. You go read the accounts of the old revival, they'd be up there preaching on hell, and you're without Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, totally separated from everything and everyone that is holy. You will not have friends in hell. You will be in an outer darkness. You will be in complete separation from God, in flames and torment forever and ever. People will be out there going, oh, you know, and he wouldn't stop. Moody preached one time to a business group and had men pass out on him, weeping.
He didn't let up. Why? Because he knew that was a godly sorrow. Now the world brings sorrow too. This life will bring sorrow. But it doesn't do anything but lead you to the grave. It's just a part of the game. It's part of what you have to suffer, for the wages of sin is death. But, it's kind of flipped from that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the first part. That when God brings sorrow because you understand you're a sinner and you're damned to eternity in a lake of fire without Jesus Christ, and that really settles on you. Let me tell you, I had a sorrow beyond sorrow. I had the feeling of insanity in me. I really did. I can't explain it, but I just sat there when I was under such intense conviction and felt like if I didn't repent and believe the gospel, I was just going to lose it. Check out. And I wept. Not everybody does that. I'm not saying you have to. But I did. And I got saved. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that just means unless you've just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, I'll pray a little. And they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believe the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God, because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And by that alone, you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that's going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God, and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope.
And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.